8 weeks ago, the Lord began to open up or unfold the life of abundance. In a time where COVID-19 has taken a lot of things away, the Lord has really said to us, I am your abundance. Allow my life to flow in and through you. And I don't know about you, but I know that for me, in some respects, I look back over the last 8 weeks, and a lot of life has been a blur because so many things change. We're all creatures of habit. We get into routines, and then that was all taken away, and we literally stripped away, and we found ourselves really reevaluating what our everyday life looks like. But regardless of whether it was before COVID-19 or during COVID-19, and we know there will be a life after COVID-19, the abundant life, the thing that the Lord has really been opening up for us and showing us and leading us to an ever-growing life of abundance in, is that life, whether, again, before, middle, or after, it really has to do with Jesus. The abundant life ultimately brings Jesus an abundance of glory. And as we're finishing up this whole series on abundance, everything that we've talked about ultimately has been lifting up the name of Jesus. And as Jesus is lifted up, we know that Scripture says he draws all men unto him. So the question ultimately becomes, are we allowing Jesus to bring to us an abundance so that he is lifted up? And here's what I mean by that. As you kind of look over this last 8 weeks, if you view it as a test, as a spiritual test, where is my spirituality? Where am I in this relationship with Jesus? Do the people around me, what do they see? Do they see Jesus, or do they just see me? I think that if we kind of break down some of the things that we've talked about, hope, for example, do people see you being hopeful during this time, or do they see you being discouraged and depressed? Do they see you full of joy, or do they walk up to you and say, hey, are you okay? What do you need? There are things that the Holy Spirit can open up in our life that show us that I'm not living the abundant life in my relationship with Jesus. Things are either stymied or they're restricted, and the Lord really wants to open them up. For example, we looked at this generosity, and God gives givers gifts to give. And so has God given you gifts to give? If he hasn't, then we need to step back and say, Lord, I need your generosity to become my generosity. Do we live with an ever-growing comfort in our life, or are we looking for outside sources to bring comfort into our life? Are we living this life that is full of love, or are we just looking where we can get love from the people who are around us? Or, you know, as we looked at last week, is peace a lifestyle, or is it just something that we're trying to get in the moment? I think that as we really put this capper on abundance today, I really believe the Lord would desire for us to see that our lives are abundant, so that Jesus might be abundance in glory, that he is lifted up, that he is seen by more people around us. Because if the last 8 weeks are a test, then someone is going to they're going to look at that test and they're going to grade that test. And of course, we know that the Lord has given us the Holy Spirit to allow there to be these checkpoints in our life where we can grow in more of the life of Christ in our life. But I think what we miss, or we even forget, is that there are people that are around us, our spouse, our children. If you're a teenager, it's your parents. There are people that you probably know better in your neighborhood. There are people in your workplace. For me, it's the people in Albertsons that see me regularly go in there for shopping. They're also looking at my life. They're looking at your life, and it's a test. Are they seeing someone that's coming in that is depressed all the time? Are they seeing someone that's coming in that is full of joy? Are they seeing people that in my life, are they seeing this generosity? And so this circle of influence, where it can't be like Facebook or Instagram, can't be like Twitter, that we put out what we want people to see. Our circle of influence, they're seeing exactly what we are. And as they're seeing exactly what we are, then if they're seeing more of Jesus, then we are really living the abundant life. Because the abundant life, it's about receive and recycle. It's literally this ultimate exchange.
That's beautiful. I like that truth, because this test isn't really just a pass-fail kind of test. You know, it it's always been a kind of a thing with me when people, we talk about giving a test, you know, there's going to be a test, there will be a quiz. Mm-hmm. And it's like, am I going to pass or am I going to fail? But the truth is that from an educator's perspective, it's really more of a measuring. It's mm-hmm. just more of an assessment. You know, how are you actually doing? How's the work of Christ going inside of your life? Because there is a responsibility. It's not just in you, it is through you. Others are looking. And it's like a teaser for a movie or for a show or the snippet from a book that you read. And is that attractive enough? Is that abundant enough? Is that exciting enough to draw you in to want to read the rest of the book mm-hmm. or to see the show? And so that's the reality of what God is calling us to. When we live in abundance, when we live in a way that we are experiencing this ever-increasing joy and hope and grace and generosity and love from Christ, when we find ourselves being filled with this peace that does pass understanding, that doesn't just fit the situation, but it comes from the Lord, then we become what Paul wrote about the Corinthians. We become an epistle. Mm-hmm. That's what he said of them. He said, you guys are a letter that God is writing, but other people are reading that letter. This is known and read by all men. And so that's really the reality of what we're talking about here. And that's the however you're doing, the beauty is that God wants you to do better. He wants us all to have more. In fact, he doesn't just want us to have more. He wants us to have abundance. That's really been the theme of everything that we've talked about, is this abundance of the blessing of the Lord. And so really that's the subject for today, his abundant provision for our lives through Christ. Mm-hmm. Everything that we have need of for life and godliness coming not through study, not through discipline, not through all of those things. They're a part, I'm sure, but they're coming from Christ. They're coming through Christ in us. And that then opens to us this amazing world of possibilities. You know, what can happen if God is really in me and in us and flowing through us? And then once we do that, we start to say, okay, well, how do I make sure that this happens? So there's a process to this, and we're going to talk about that today a bit. And then the prize, of course, is this full life, this here and now, and then this there and then part of this. So there's a scripture that we want to share with you today as we talk about this abundance, and it's from 2 Peter chapter 1, and I'm going to start reading that scripture with verse number 2. I'm reading from the New International Version, but I love these words. Grace and peace be yours in abundance. There's that word. Grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these, he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through those promises, through them, you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness mutual affection, and to mutual affection love. What a great lineup, what a great list that we're going to be sharing about. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Whoever does not have them is nearsighted and blind. So you get a choice. You get to want to be nearsighted and blind, bumping into stuff all the time, or do you want to have clear vision and knowledge from the Lord? They are nearsighted and blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their past sins. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, make every effort to confirm your calling and election. For if you do these things. This is so exciting. If you do these things, you will never stumble. You will receive a rich welcome. Actually, it says in some of the translations, an abundant entrance. there's that abundance again. You will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I think it is just such a powerful truth, Rich. It's just such a good truth. This is the provision that the Lord has made for us. Everything that you need for life and godliness is provided for you, for me, for all of us, for whosoever will, through the knowledge of Jesus Christ as Lord. And that's what you said. It's not just about, you know, something that we can do and we can add to our lives. It is about a relationship. It is about a reality of a partnership with the eternal God of heaven. He's not out there. He's not sending you a test to fill it out and send it in, and then you get a grade. Oop, I passed. Oop, I failed. Yeah, it's not that. He's coming to be with us. And so we have this possibility, this opportunity, this divine provision that comes from the Lord, which opens us to the true knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the provision. It is that he makes himself available to us. We get to know God really and relationally. We don't just know about him. He gives us his word so that we can know a great deal about him. But he is the word. He is the Word made flesh, and he's the eternal Word of God. He's the Logos that was in the beginning with God and then was made flesh for us. So what do we have in the Lord? We have this opportunity for a real living relationship and a partnership with God where he lives and I live. This is the huge difference between religion and relationship. In a religious world, you get to know about God, you know, and you create the images that picture what you know about God. And the truth is that most of the idols that you will ever see, ever picture, or ever hear talked about are these mean-spirited, nasty gods that you have to appease with sacrifices, and somehow you have to be afraid of them all the time. The great God of heaven, the great God of heaven, the true and only God of all creation, robed himself in human flesh, appeared as a baby, grew up with a hick accent because he was born to poor parents in Nazareth, really, and went around then doing good and bringing healing to all who are oppressed of the devil. This is the real God of heaven, who seeks a relationship with us, who's made himself available to us, who in the end of his time with his disciples said, now the good that you're about to experience because I'm going away is that now, rather than just being with you, I'm going to be able to be within you. In the same way that the Father has been in me and I've been in the Father, we're going to be in you and you're going to be in us. This is the divine provision of God. He doesn't just send us on a mission. It is a co-mission. He is with us. He is within us. I love that picture. This is the knowledge of God that we're talking about. Not knowing about, knowing. In the real living relationship. There's a picture that comes to mind when I think about this, and probably every mom has seen their little daughters do this. It's kind of an interesting thing. When little girls play, the studies have shown that they use words, they talk. When little boys play, they just use noise. But girls talk. And so you can picture this, the little girl with her dolls, and she's got all these kind of things. And this one says this, and this one says, oh, blah, blah, blah. And whatever she makes them say, she's giving life to the dolls. She's giving personality to the dolls. It's whatever she imagines. But imagine if one of the dolls actually came to life and she wants it to do this. And the doll says, oh, no, I don't think so. Not today. There's the difference. When you have a religious relationship with God, when you have this picture and this thing that God has to fit into, you're giving it all the strength. You're giving it your own imagination. A real relationship is more than that. It's not just what you can picture. It's not what you can think and imagine. It is God really, truly by and for himself and from himself speaking into our lives. We have bracelets that used to be really popular around the world in the church that said, what would Jesus do? WWJD bracelets. What would Jesus do? And by definition, it kind of says, if he were actually here. And you rewrote that a number of years ago, as I understand, that it's not what would Jesus do. It's what is Jesus doing? because this is the reality. He has provided for us his living spirit and living presence with us and within us. And through the divine knowledge of God, through the true knowledge of God, through the exceeding precious promises that enhance our living relationship with him, we have everything we need for life and godliness. Wow. Wow. Good. That's a huge list. Everything we need for life and godliness. In the Bethel family, we kind of say it this way, which is a kind of an interesting thing, introducing people to the nothing is impossible life. And that doesn't mean, oh, if you'll just take the self-improvement, if you'll just imagine that nothing is impossible. No, if you will actually get into a living relationship with God, then honestly, nothing will be impossible to you. Jesus said it this way in John 15. He said, unless you're really fully connected powerfully to me, unless you're really in this relationship with me, where there's transfer that happens back and forth, where if you're not in this relationship, then without me, you can do nothing. It isn't that you won't try. It isn't that you can't, you know, get up early in the morning and stay up late at night and, you know, sweat drops of blood trying to really be your religious best. It just won't make a difference. It won't change anything. But with God, all things are possible. And I just love that. I love this relationship because this is what he's called us into. We're called out of religion and into a relationship with God where we can have everything that we need for life and godliness through the true knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is into him then that we can begin to grow. It is into him that we can begin to discover all that he has planned for us. So we're kind of growing in this grace. We don't just get it. We learn it. We live into it. If you'll commit to Christ in this growing relationship, then you listen. And as you listen for the voice of the Lord and the truths of God, you learn of the Lord. And as you learn of the Lord, now you're able to kind of reproduce this. You're kind of able to live out of this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so this is the reality. This is the provision. This is the possibility. Everything you need, everything we need, in our knowledge, in our living relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so my prayer, our heart's cry, is that God will help us to grow into this, to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord. We're growing into knowing. Mm-hmm. Oh, you like that one? We're growing into knowing.
Yeah, and I think that really leads us into the process of this scripture. Mm-hmm. The process of the scripture, he says in verse 5, he says, for this reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness mutual affection, and to mutual affection love. Now, there isn't a person that I know that wouldn't like to have these qualities. It never been a person that has come to Jesus and said yes to him that hasn't wanted all of this. The challenge is that, again, religion comes back and says, you have to change. You have to change to measure up. You have to change to be better. You have to change so you're a better spouse, better parent, better next door neighbor, better person shopping at the store, whatever. You have to change. And I believe the Lord would have us really move from the change to the exchange. When it goes from religion, which has to do with change, and to a relationship, which has to do with exchange, then all of a sudden, I do have everything that I have need of for life and for godliness. Now, religion would very simply say, okay, you've got to look at this list. And if you look at this list, you need to get it in order. And here's what'll happen really quick for you, because I know it's happened with me. Boy, I'm like, okay, so I get this faith thing. I've got this. I'm going with Jesus. But all of a sudden, there comes this moment. In fact, for Clarissa and I, early on in our marriage, you know, most people, they say they have an 18-month honeymoon period. For Clarissa and I, it was 2 weeks. After 2 weeks, we just started getting after each other. In fact, we moved immediately from 2 weeks of heaven to a good year and a half of hell, where we were just constantly going after each other. And I'm going, well, she's just not very good. And I'm sure she's looking at me and going, you're not very good. Neither of us were very good. We didn't have any goodness in us. But the goodness was not supposed to be born out of our humanness. It was this exchange where I take my goodness and say, it's no good, and I'll get rid of that, and I'll take all the goodness of Jesus Christ. And we don't take this list that Peter writes here as being sequential. You get the goodness, and then you get this part, and then you get this part. No, it's not even exhaustive, but it's this exchange life. And I think if you're to take something important from this, it's the word that he starts with and the word that he ends with. When you start with faith, and think of it this way. When you start with faith, you're basically saying, I now am on a new course. In fact, I would even say a good picture here is maybe a marathon. If you've ever seen, I'm not a runner. I'm never going to be in a marathon. I never see runners smile. And so I don't ever want to be part of that kind of life. But as they're running along, they're running by themselves, but there are people along the way who are handing things out to them. They're handing out the Gatorade. They're handing out the banana. They're handing out the chewables that bring energy for them, because they know that in their self along the way, there's not enough nutrients to make it to the end. Now, Jesus isn't standing on the sidelines handing things out. He's running alongside of us saying, here, now you're getting tired. So let me go ahead and give you goodness. You're finding it hard to endure the pressures of life. So let me help you endure by giving you my spirit. You're learning how that to exist within the body of Christ. So let me show you how to show brotherly love to your brothers and sisters in Christ. Let me show you how I loved the church so that you can exchange your human form of love for my love. And the beauty of this whole thing is that you find at the end, he starts with brotherly love, but then he says love, because what happens is as we learn to love the church like Jesus loves the church, then we're able to exchange even that kind of love for a greater kind of love. And we end up loving the world like Jesus loved the world. But it really has everything to do with this exchange life. The Greeks and the religious pious leaders of Jesus' day, they placed high value on self-control. I in myself can make sure that I fast or I do this and I do that. But when Peter's talking about this self-control, he recognized there was only one who came and lived a life under perfect control, from the best of life to the worst of life when he was even hanging on the cross. He maintained perfect self-control. So I don't have to try to figure out self-control on my own. He's running in this life alongside of me and saying, hey, take your human form of self-control and exchange it. Set it aside for my self-control. And so I really want us to understand that ultimately we need to choose to exchange rather than to change. When we choose to exchange our life for Christ's life, then this happens. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Isn't that something? Oof,
it's powerful.
And we're right back to that same thing. If this is what God's providing, which is this provision is the true knowledge of the Lord, he's making himself available. Yeah. You don't have to do it for him. You can do it with him. He's not going to do it for you. He's going to do it within you. So then you need a relationship. Yeah. We are committing to a relationship. And so this isn't a pathway to get to God. Mm-hmm. This is a process of growing in God. This is how it actually looks and feels as we grow into the grace and the knowledge of the Lord. We find more self-control. We find a sense of stick-to-itiveness, of perseverance. That's more than what we would have on our own. It is from the Lord himself. And when these things are in us and increasing, there is a prize.
Yeah.
You know, that's the beauty. God provides. It opens up this amazing world of possibility. And so we give ourselves to this process of growing and knowing, that of exchanging the life that God brings to us for the death that we have in ourselves. We die to ourselves so that we might live to God. And within that, all of a sudden, it's like, here comes the finish line. Here comes the prize. Here comes the reward of this relationship.
Right.
And I love this because it speaks about a fruitful faith where you're never barren. Mm-hmm. you're never unproductive. There is a fruit-bearing faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, the fruit of the Spirit of life in Christ. It's interesting to me that fruit trees don't sweat. Right. It's oh, I gotta put out an apple today. They don't do that because there's apple sap. They're connected. There's a life that is flowing in them, and that life manifests itself in fruit. Mm-hmm. And so it is the fruit of the Spirit of life. It is this glorious, fruitful faith. It's a real relationship that we have with God. It's not a fakey thing. It's not here, let me tell you what I know about God. We tell you about the Lord who is with us. And we're listening, we're learning, we're loving him on a day-by-day basis. It also opens us to a tremendously powerful ministry opportunity, because this is what the world needs. Mm-hmm. The world doesn't need a better relationship, a better religion. It doesn't need a cooler system. It doesn't need you to be, you know, the most talented person in the world. But the world needs Jesus, and the world needs carriers mm-hmm. of Jesus. And that's who the body of Christ is. When we say, oh, God, move, then as the body of Christ, we certainly ought to be a part.
Yeah.
We should be moving in this. So this is the glorious thing. This calling, this election that we have is to be, the incarnation invasion, you know, that we are filled with the glorious knowledge of Christ so that we can be carriers of this glorious knowledge of Christ everywhere, every day, with everyone that we meet. And then there is this other thing that I think is really a cool thing, an abundant entrance. I love this picture. It's a great finish. You use the picture of the marathon. Imagine. I mean, I don't know how you feel. I never. I mean, my body screams out that this man does not run marathons. I got that. But I can't. If I ever did, I'm just picturing that once I get somewhere near that 26-mile mark, once I get around there and I get into the whatever stadium, whatever the finish is, I start to see that tape. I start to see that finish line. I'm thinking at that point, there's a little bit of motivation here. There's a little bit of pumping up kind of thing that goes on. And that's the reality. Here's what it says. It says, when we get this right in terms of a real relationship, when we receive the provision that the Lord moves into our lives, when we begin to explore the possibilities and we engage in this growing, knowing process of God in our lives, then an abundant entrance is provided for us in the kingdom. I've always pictured, you know, this judgment that is to come with a couple of different lines. And, you know, in one line, there are the people who don't think they're going to fare very well. And they've got cheat sheets, little note cards, like, and nobody wants to get up and talk. And it's like, no, you go ahead. They're sort of dreading being called to the bar, called to answer. And on the other line, I just see him going, would that guy shut up? Because I want to talk. I want to tell about these amazing, exciting things that God has done for us. But that's our side. Imagine on the other side. Imagine this. Here you go, Rich. When here we are, this abundant entrance, I think it sounds something like this. I think it sounds like the Lord Jesus Christ himself saying, whoa, Gabriel, here comes Rich. That's Rich. That's my guy. Why? Because he's lived in, moved in. I've lived in, moved in him. We are partners. We are friends. We're in this living, loving relationship. And I just think that's the glory of all of this. That's the big, huge prize at the end, the well done, yeah. That you and I did this together. It wasn't you for me.
Yeah.
It wasn't me for you. It was you and me together in this. And that was really well done.
Yeah, I think that when we're going in life and he hands us these things that we need and we find this place of victory along the way, because it's victory after victory. You know, Paul said, yes, from glory to glory to glory. And I think back when I was just a little Rich, I mean, I was a year and a half, this picture will show that, you know, I took this T-shirt and I ripped it in half and I had accomplished that. There's that moment we've crossed the finish line and we've shed the things of this life, the things that we go, that's still the part I don't like, but we break through. And then we do have that moment where we see him as he is. And he sees us, and we do have this embrace that is really the crescendo, the cresting of everything that we have had faith for, everything that we have longed for. And in that moment, and I don't know how long we get in that moment. I mean, we have eternity, but this one-on-one moment, every time that we leaned into him and said yes to him, and we said, we want to be further in you and you more in us, it'll be every part of that hug. It'll be every part of that kiss. And it is just going to be an incredibly glorious moment.
Amen.
Can't wait.
In the name of Jesus. Well, let's pray. Let's believe the Lord to just feel.
I know that's not very COVID me to do that, but can I just say one other thing?
Yeah,
for the
sure,
person
absolutely.
That you're going, man, I wish I'd have started this 20 years ago. Mm. I love Jesus's parable of the workers. You know, we serve a good God, a really good God. And there were people that started early in the day, but there were people started late at night. But they agreed that, hey, we're gonna work for this amount. And when they got done, the guys that started early in the day got paid the same as those that started late. Yeah. Don't go, my life is wasted. Don't look and go, well, I should have started. Start today. Move into that relationship with the Lord, because he'll reward you based on working your whole life.
There you go. That's true, because go back to just what you started out saying in today's message, that, how you doing? Where are you on the test? What's it looking like? And I bet nobody here, certainly not true here, and I'm pretty sure it's probably not true in your world or anybody you know, who's batting 1,000, who everything is going always the right way, that everything turns out perfectly. But here's the reality. There's a provision. There's a possibility. There's a God who is with us and who's wanting in this relationship to continually reveal himself to us so that our lives are fruitful and effective and powerful in the name of the Lord. And so wherever you are, you're still breathing. You're still drawing breath. You still have an opportunity. There's still a possibility for improvement, for getting closer to him, for more of the knowledge of the Lord. And that's really what he wants. So, Pastor, pray for us that the Lord will just bless our lives. Would you do that?
Father, thank you for your goodness. Thank you that you have provided everything for us. And Lord, I thank you that you are all that we need. And Lord, I pray that you will help us to lean in and to know that you've not left us nor forsaken us, but that, Lord, we are living a life in you and you are living a life in us. And I pray that we will grow in that abundance so that, Lord, all that are around us might see and know this wonderful God that we serve,
hallelujah,
that has been so misrepresented by all the tactics of the enemy, but that now can see you high and lifted up in our lives,
yes,
as you bring all the things that we have need of. I pray that, Lord, we will allow you to continue the process all the way to where we see the prize.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.